Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos of Kuf Chav Tes. Begin 12 lines up from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues discussing the theme of the previous daf, which we spoke about that to help a woman give birth, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. And that is, we said that once the Psichas HaKever, once the woman's womb is open, until it closes, according to some opinions, even if she says, I do not want you to be Mechal Shabbos, I do not need it, doesn't make a difference. We're always Mechal Shabbos for the woman once her womb opens. So the Gemara asks the following question. From when does the opening of the womb begin? And that is, do we start being Mechal Shabbos for the woman to say that her womb is open, and therefore we have to be Mechal Shabbos for her? So we have three opinions. Amar Abaye, Mishur Shateshev Al HaMashber, from the time that she sits down on the birthing stool, from that when she's sitting down to give birth, that's already considered as open, and therefore we do Ochel Shabbos to help her. He says, Mishosha Hadam Shaisis Vyard, for when the blood starts dripping out of her because of the fact that it's opening and that the blood is coming out, that's when we say it's open with Mechal Shabbos. But Amrilan, some say the third opinion is, Mishosha Chavriseo Noisis Isa Begapeh, from when her friends have to hold her by her arms, that she can't walk, they have to carry her basically by holding her arms, that means that it's open and therefore, again, we do Ochel Shabbos. But then the question is, ad masib psichas hakev, up until when is it considered that it's still open? Because we said that chilulei Shabbos that we do for her is as long as that it's open. When is it still considered open? So Amar Abaye, there's three different opinions here also. Abaye says, shleish yom, up until 3 days after the birth, we consider it still open. Rava Amar Meshmed Rabbi Yehuda, shiva, up to 7 days after the birth, we consider it open. V'amilan, some say shleishim, that up to 30 days afterwards, and still not fully healed, fully clothed, and therefole that's considered that it's still open that we do Chil Shabbos for the woman. However, Amin Adar, the Nadai said, Chaya, regarding a woman that gave birth, so then there's three different tiers, layers of regarding the halachas of Chil Shabbos. Gimel, Zayin, V'lamin, up until 3 days, up until 7 days, and up until 30 days. That is, the period of up until 30 days is from after the day 7 until it completes day 30. And similarly, when we said regarding the 7, that it's from day 3, after day 3 until it completes day 7. And that is Gimel, up until day 3, Bein Amr Tzrichani, Bein Amr Loi Tzrichani, it doesn't make a difference if she says, I need you to do Chil Shabbos for me. She says, I do not need you to do Chil Shabbos for me. It doesn't make a difference. Mechal Nolas HaShabbos, she's in a critical state over here that she just had birth up until 3 days, and therefore do any type of Chil Shabbos. Zion, up until day 7, Amr Tzrichani, Mechal Nolas HaShabbos. If she says that I need this thing to be done, I feel this, this is dangerous for me, so then we are Mechal Shabbos. Amr Loi Tzrichani, Ein Mechal Nolas HaShabbos. She says, I do not need this to be done for me, then we're not Mechal Shabbos. Again, if it's after day 3, up until day 7. Lamed, up until after the day, from day 8, up until day 30, then Afila Amr Tzrichani, Ein Mechal Nolas HaShabbos. Even if she says, I need this, I feel this being dangerous for me, we're not Mechal Shabbos, because she's not in a critical condition. Aval Oisna, they are Moi, but we do it through a guy, through a non-Jew. And that is through Ula Bereid Ravi Loi. Naman, that he said, Kol Tzarchi Chayla Nasna, they are Moi b'Shabbos. All the needs of a sick person are done through a non-Jew on Shabbos. And that is, we say that a regular woman, that up until day 30 after she gave birth, is generally considered in the status of a chayla, of a sick person. So although it's not sakanas nefashis, because or else we would be mechal Shabbos for her, even with a Jew, however, as long as she's considered a chayla, we can do it through a non-Jew. Ukud Rav Amnuna, and as Rav Nuna said, Dam Rav Amnuna, Dava Sheim by Sekana, regarding something that there is no danger to life. That is a sick person that if you don't do this healing process, this medication, the person is not in danger of dying, but still the person needs it. So then, so then you can tell a non-Jew, and the non-Jew does it. However, again, if it's something that is a danger to life, definitely a Jew will do it. A Yisrael does it. But here we're talking about the woman from after day 7 up until day 30, she's considered a chayla, but it's not sakanas nafasha, therefore through a Yisrael you cannot do it. However, through a non-Jew you're allowed to do it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, similarly, he said, L'chaya lamadyam, regarding this halacha that we said for a woman that after she gave birth up until day 30, lama hilchasa, for what application does it have specifically that we say after day 8 up until day 30 that there's certain leniencies we do that we say that she's still considered a woman that just gave birth and there's danger? So Amar Naradoi Litfila. Naradoi said that the reason what we're telling you up until day 30 is that she should not immerse herself in the mikveh because she might get chilled when she's immersing in the mikvah, and that's what we're saying, that she has the status of a chaya, which means a person that a woman that just given birth. Up until day 30, she's still, although she's not critical, but it's still danger, and therefore she should not immerse herself in the mikvah because she might get chilled. However, Amar Rabba qualifies and he says, Lo yimaren ela she'in baile ima. We didn't say this, that she should not be toivel. For example, if she's doing it just for taharis, that is, if her husband's not there and she's just doing it so she could eat things that require tahara, like truma and kachim, so therefore then she's tivling to eat these items, but it's not when it related to having relations with her husband. But if her husband is with her, and that is after she's going to be tivul, she's going to immerse herself in the mikveh, she's going to be intimate with her husband, and then the body gets and warms up from the other body, from the body heat, so therefore since her husband is going to warm her up, then even before day 30, we're not concerned she could immerse herself in the mikveh. It was only talking about when she's doing it for other tahara purposes, and not, her husband is not around, then we said up until day 30 you should not immerse because you might get chilled and it might cause danger to life. However, if the husband is there and they're going to be intimate, then it's okay because he's going to warm her up. As the Gemara says, Kihad debated Rav Chisda, as it was the case by the daughter of Rav Chisda, Tavlu begoy tlos in yoyim and shalob b'fnei bala. She immersed herself in the mikvah before day 30, and her husband was not around. But tznias, and she got cold, she got chilled. Va'amtuy la'ars, and they brought her bed, ba'astreid the Rava, the Pumadisa, to her husband Rava, all the way to Pumadisa, so that he can be intimate with her and warm her up, because again, this danger of life, it applies when the husband's not there, and then the chill might be dangerous. Another statement from Rabbi Huda Meshmul, I'm Rabbi Huda Meshmul, related to this topic. Eisen medura l'chai b'Shabbos. We're allowed to make a large fire for a woman that had just given birth on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Savar mina, they thought to say, when he said this halacha, that l'chai in l'chai l'loi. Only for a woman that had given birth, there it's a special dispensation that we gave, but not for a sick person. And only b'moisag shamim and b'moisag hamaloi, that it was only during the winter time when it's very cold. And then we allow it for the woman that had given birth, but not during the summertime. But the Gemara says, Wallahi, it's not really true. Loish nechaya, loish nechayel, doesn't make a difference if the woman that gave birth or a regular sick person. Loish nebemesach shama, loish nechayel, bemesach chama, whether during the winter months or whether during the summer months. And the reason in Medeidma, as we learned, that Amr of Chiyabar Oven, Amr Shmuel, hikiz dam, if a person had let blood, and definitely this would include a regular sick person, and ministan, and the person got a chill, we make a bonfire for the person even during the summer months, which Tammuz is in the real summer month, that we see this concept that it doesn't make a difference not only for a woman that gave birth, but even for a regular sick person. And as we find b'hakazas dam, which letting blood is, you're not even a chayla, but again, you get a little weakened state because of the blood that was let. And however, we see that even in Tekufis Tammuz, even during the summer months, not only during the winter months. So now the Gemara brings many different stories, and it continues on to Amud Beis regarding this topic about Hakazas Dam. That in the times of the Gemara, they used to let blood, they used to draw blood as a way of healing purposes. And therefore, once you draw the blood, the person's in a diminished state because they lost some of their blood. Therefore, they become weaker, and therefore they would do certain things to support themselves, that they should fortify themselves, that they shouldn't get sick. As the Gemara brings a few stories, Shmuel Tzolchulei Tachtaka de Shaga, that for Shmuel they chopped up a cheer of Shaga, that is, they couldn't find any wood to make a fire on the day that he let blood, and therefore he commanded that they should chop up a very expensive cheer because of the necessity of being warm, because if not, he can get sick. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda Tzolchulei Pesur de Yavna. For Rabbi Yehuda, after he let blood, they chopped up a table of Yavna, which is a type of an eras of a cedar tree. Again, it was a lot of money taking a table and chopping it up and using it as firewood, but it was so important that that's what they did. And L'Rabba Tzolchulei Sharshifsha. For Rabba, they went and chopped up a footstool. Again, all these stories illustrate and really bring out the point of the importance of having the warmth after letting the blood. V'amalei Abaye l'Rabba, and regarding this story, but when by Rabba that they chopped up a footstool for him, Abaye said to Rabba, what do you mean? V'ka'ovam ma'amar shum bal tashchis. How are you letting them do this? That you're telling them they should chop up a footstool for you, that you could heat up a fire. Yo'ev bal tashchis. You're destroying something, a cheer, and it's something that can be used and using it as firewood. It's a destructive act. And that's also because of bal tashchis. Samalei bal tashchis de gufoi adifli. What do you mean? The destruction of my body is more important to me than the destruction of my money. You're right, it's a waste of money. And you're not allowed to just rip up something and destroy something that's good and has purpose. However, my body is more bal tashchis that's going to happen if I don't warm myself up with that cheer than the loss of the cheer itself. Similarly, the Gemara brings statements to underscore this importance. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav. La'olam yimkor adam karis beis. A person should always sell even the beams of his house, v'yikach min olam l'raglam, and buy shoes with them, because there's nothing as embarrassing, as degrading, as walking barefoot in the marketplace. As we make the bracha, sh'osli kol tzarka, what's all my needs? That's a reference to the shoes. Shoes are one of the basic necessities. So sell even the beams of your house to buy shoes. However, hikas dam, ve'in l'ma yoichel, if he let blood and he has nothing to eat, and therefore to fortify himself, yimkum in the alim shabaraglav v'yaspi mehen sarchi suda. Sell the shoes on your feet, and then you'll be able to go ahead and buy the requirements for the meal. That's the meal that they would eat after letting blood. Again, underscoring the importance of fortifying oneself after becoming weak from letting blood. And the Gemara asks, "Mait sarchi suda? What are the necessities of the meal which should be eaten after letting blood?" So Rav amar basar, Shmuel amar yain. Rav says it's important to eat meat after letting blood, and Shmuel says wine. As the Gemara says, Rav amar basar. Why is it important to eat meat? Because nafsha cholof nafsha. That a soul replaces the soul. In other words, eat the flesh of an animal so that the flesh of yourself can be fortified. Ushmul amar yain, Shmuel says wine, because sumka cholof sumka, that red replaces red. The red wine will replace the red blood that was lost from the person. So now the Gemara continues again regarding this topic of akaza, of letting blood. Simen shenimser, these letters are an acronym for the different amiram of what they would do when they would let blood. So the shin is Shmuel. Shmuel b'yomid avin milsa, when Shmuel would do this, that he would go ahead and let blood, avdile tavshila detachli, he would make for himself a cooked dish of spleen. And that is because a spleen is red, and that's chalaf sumka, that's again, that replaces the red blood that was taken out of him. Rabbi Yechon would drink wine adenafik tihe mi'une, until the odor, the smell of the wine was so strong in his body that would come out of his ears, you'd be able to smell the wine. Again, because that the red wine should replace the red blood that was displaced. Rav Nachman shasi adekafi tachle. Rav Nachman would drink so much wine until his spleen would float. And that is, it would float in his body, so to speak, from all the wine that he ingested. Rav Yosef shasi adenafik mirivdi dechosilta. Rav Yosef would drink so much wine until it would come out of the pores, but not only the pores, but even the place where the blood letter had made the incision to be able to draw out the blood. That is how much wine he drank, that it would come out through that hole also. Rava, Mahadar Achamer bar Tlosa Tavri. Rava would specifically go ahead and try to find wine that came from a vine that had three leaves. And that is, it was already 3 years old, that already had carried three new seasons of leaves. That is to find that, again, good wine to be able to replace the blood that he had lost. And so, Amalahu Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Rabbanan. Rav Nachman Yitzchak told to the rabbis, specifically his students, he said, "B'matusa minaychu, I beg of you. But Yemen Akaza, on the day that you draw blood," and again, the person is very weak on that time, and he has to eat a lot to fortify himself. "Amru lebesaychu, tell your wives, Nachman ikle legaban, that Nachman, the Rosh Hashiva, the Rebbe, he's coming to us to eat, and therefore you're going to make a large suda, as if I'm coming to eat by you, because your wife's not going to want to make so much food, but it's important on the day that you let blood to go ahead and eat a lot to restore your health. The kulu irumiyasur, and all types of cunning, trickery is forbidden. Bar mehai armad the shari, except for this type of trickery, which is permitted, which the Gemara is going to explain right now. What does that mean? And that is manda oved milsa b'lo efshale. If someone let blood and he doesn't have any possibility to buy wine, he has no money, but it's so necessary that although cunning and doing a trick is usr, however, this would be mutter as follows. Lishkul zuzumacha. He should take a very poor and rusty old coin that no, that's not in circulation, no one's going to take it from you. But take that coin, and go to seven different stores. And the way it normally is, especially when you buy wine, that you first taste it to see if it's good. And then once you taste it, then you give the coin to buy it. And then the storekeeper is going to see that this is not a good coin. He's not going to accept it. And then he's going to say, "Get out of here, I'm not selling it to you." So then you go to another store. And again, you say, "Oh, I want to buy a Cabernet." You go out and you taste a little bit. "Mm, it's very good." And then you say, "Okay, pay up." So he says, takes the coin, he wants to buy the bottle. He says, "No, I'm not taking that coin." Do that up until you get to seven stores. Ad tom shirivias, until you at least taste the revias. And that will restore your health. Because although our harama, doing such a trick, is generally forbidden here because of the danger to life, it was permitted by the Chacham. V'iloy, and if you don't even have an old bad coin, so you can't even do this trick of having the coin that they should reject you, lechel shav tamri uchmasa, you should eat seven black dates, v'leishiv mishcha b'tzideh, and you should take oil and rub it into your temples, and that is the dates and the oil that you're rubbing in will warm you up, and v'nigni b'shimshi, and then you sit and you suntan, So all these things will warm you up. So although there's a chill that can come to the body by the loss of blood, with doing these three different things, it will help to restore the warmth in the body and thereby restoring one's health. So relating to this, that the Gemara said that for letting blood, it's good to sit in the sun. The Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. That Avled Ashkechei L'Shmuel D'Gani B'Shemsha. Avled, who was a non-Jewish philosopher, he once found Shmuel that was sitting in the sun. So he said to Shmuel, Chachimi D'Yudai, the wise one of the Jews, Bishami Habatov, is something bad going to be good? And that is the sun, which we know with the UV rays, which are harmful to the person. Can it do good for a person? What are you doing sitting in the sun? It's dangerous. So Malay, Yemen Dakazav, he says it was the day that I let blood, and as we just explained, that when you let blood, then you need the warmth of the sun to restore your warmth and your health. But the Gemara says, although that's what Shmuel answered him, and he understood that answer, Balahi, that's not really what it was. There is one day the whole year that the sun is actually good and the rays are not harmful. And that is Yema de Nafl Beit Kuvas Tamas, that's the day when the summer solstice comes out. That's in the summer month when it's exactly aligned, it's a perfect day. That is the one day when the sun is not harmful. But Vasavala Iglile, he said, well, I'm not going to reveal it to him. The secrets of the world are not worthy to be revealed to this non-Jewish philosopher. And therefore he didn't tell him. He just told him that it's the day that he let blood. However, it's true on both of them that the sun is good both on the day when you let blood and on the day of the Tekuvah's Tamas. So now the Gemara says regarding Rav and Shmuel, how they conducted themselves when they would let blood. And the Gemara gives a simon, Hekel Beruach, he who is lenient with the wind, Taima Shah, he waited to taste. Simon, that's a simon for the different, again, the Gemara always used mnemonics to memorize the statements because they didn't have the Gemara written down, and they had to remember all the different statements. So Rav and Shmuel, Dhamma Tavaya, both Rav and Shmuel say, Kala Mekel Besudas Hakazas Dam, whoever is lenient regarding the meal of after letting blood, that is, he doesn't go all out and buy a lot of food to reinforce himself. So from heaven, they're also very lax regarding his sustenance, regarding his support. And they say as follows, he's not concerned about his own life, because if he was, he would go ahead and make a good meal afterwards. Hashem says, I should have mercy on him and give him a lot of money so that he could support himself. It's not true. He doesn't care himself. I'm not going to care about himself. Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu, the second idea is regarding Ruach, Haiman de Oven Milsa, regarding someone that did this thing, he let blood, Loi Leisiv Hecha de Karach Ziki, should not sit in a place where the wind is rolling over there. And that is where there are windows and the wind could come in over there. And that's the idea by Nechreches, that the wind is tumbling. And the reason is Dimash Shafele Umne, because maybe the blood let him in and emptied him out, he took out all his blood. Umukim Laravisi left him just with a revius of dam, which is the minimum amount that a person needs to stay alive. And then, now if the wind's going to blow on him and draw a little bit more out of him, he's going to be in danger of life, because now it's going to take away a little bit of that minimum that he has left, and he's going to be in danger of life, and therefore you should not be, after you let blood, in a place where there's wind. As the Gemara illustrates this, the Shmuel have a ruggle, va'avid milsa bebesi the shavla ve'inaya varicha. The Shmuel had his custom that when he would let blood, he would be in a house that was 7.5 bricks. And that is the width of the wall was, they had 7 bricks by the width of each one after the other. And that is, each brick is 3 tefachim. And this arichaya, this half a brick, is a tefach and a half. So we find it was a very thick wall. One time he was doing this bloodletting and he felt a little shvach, a little weak. He realized something is not good. He went to check and he found that it was missing just a half of a brick. And that is that the wall was missing just a tefach and a half. And although it was such a wide wall, it was that perfection that he had. And he knew that it's necessary to stay away from wind. And the fact that he felt weaker, again, it's this concern about that wind will tip away a little bit, take away a little of the energy that the person has. And that's why you should not be in the place of wind after letting blood. The next idea of the simon of Tama was Rav Shmuel de Tavai. Again, Rav Shmuel, they both say, Haiman de Ovid Milsa, regarding this person that let blood, Litta Midi Bahadu Lepik. He should first eat something and then go out. And the reason is, because if he doesn't taste something first before leaving, Ipoga B'Shichve, if he encounters a dead person, Yorik Ape, his face will turn green. Ipoga B'Man de Kolta Nafshe, if he encounters a person that kills people, a murderer, then miss, he's going to die. Ipaga, if he encounters, and we continue on Talmud Beis, bedover acher, he encounters something that's called dover acher, which is a reference, a euphemism for swine. Kashal dover acher, it will be harmful to him for dover acher, which is a reference to tzaras. And that is because the chazerim, the swines, are always afflicted with Negaim. As the Gemara in Kedushin says that Hashem gave down 10 portions of Negaim to the world, 9 of them were taken by swine. So again, they all underscore the idea of a person's defense, his supports in his body are depleted when he lets blood, and therefore you have to eat something, because if not, you're going to encounter these elements in the world outside, and it's harmful to the person, and therefore he might die, he might get weak, whatever it is, so therefore you should eat something before you leave. And the final idea was, Rabbi Shmuel Damar Tavayu, Haiman de Oved Milsa, whoever lets blood, Lishi Purta V'Hadalek, you should wait a little bit and then get up. The Amamar, as was said, the Hei Devarim Kraven L'Misa Yisnachayim, regarding someone doing these five things, he's closer to being dead than being alive. Me'eluhen, what are these five things? If a person eats and gets up right away after he's full after eating, that's closer to being dead than alive. Shasav Amid, if he drinks and right away gets up. Yashin Amid, if he sleeps and gets up right away. Hikas Dam Amid, and the one that we just spoke about of letting blood instead of standing up right away. And the fifth one is Shimesh Mitasiv Amid, if someone has intercourse and right away gets up. Again, these five things are very dangerous, and you're closer to being dead than being alive. Again, because all these five things, they deplete a person's energy, and standing up right away can disorient the person. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Pursa the Dhamma, the time, when are the time periods of letting blood? So he says, Kol Tlasin Yamin, every 30 days, and obviously not more than that, because that would take out too much of a person's blood, but every 30 days. Ubein HaPrakim, when the person reaches in his life the next chapter, and that is after he reaches age 40, you might, then he should diminish his bloodletting. That is, he shouldn't do it anymore once a month. Rather, he should do it once every 2 months. Ubein HaPrakim, regarding the next chapter in his life, when he's after age 60, then Yachzir B'Yamayit, again, he should go and diminish it even more. He should do it once every 3 months, because he doesn't have the same vigor and energy that he used to have, and his blood is not as hot anymore, and therefore his body can get chilled from just losing a little bit amount of blood. So if you want to let blood, once every 3 months, but not more than that. V'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel also said, more specifically, that Pursa D'Dem, the time of letting blood, during what day of the week, is Chad B'Shabbat, Sunday, Arba, Wednesday, Umali Shabbat, and Erev Shabbat. But not on Monday or Thursday. And the reason is, Da'amamar, Misha Yeshle Schus Abis, whoever has merits of his father's, then he could Yakaz Dam B'Shein Mechamisha, he could let his blood on Monday and Thursday. And what's the reason? Shebezin Shalmala V'Shalmata Shamakechad, because on Monday and Thursday, both Bati Din, the courts of Shemayim, and the courts of here earth, are both all out in full force in judgment. And that is because a person is judged, Adam Nidim Mechol Yim, a person judged every single day in Shemayim. But the Bezdin over here, they sit in the cities on Mondays and Thursdays from the times of Ezra and later. And since it's a day of judgment, both on heaven and on earth, on Monday and Thursday, so therefore all the person's sins are remembered, and the person should not put himself in a critical condition, again, unless if he has chusavis, by letting blood on Monday and Thursday. But, so the Gemara asks, but lasa b'shabbat my time aloy. So, but why on Tuesdays not? You only said on Sunday and on Wednesday and on Friday. What's wrong with Tuesday? The reason is Mishum the Kaimale Ma'adim Bisavi, because on Tuesday, that's when the planet Mars are in pairs. And that is, as Rashi explains, that on Tuesday, the mazel of Ma'adim of Mars, it will conduct itself during the what's called the pairs, is that on the even numbers and the even hours. And that is the mazel of Mars. Is a very bad, ominous type of a mazel, because it rules over destruction and punishment. So that's one element you're going to have on Tuesday, that the one that ruling that day is the mazel of Mars, as we're going to explain in a moment. And moreover, on Tuesday is the day when it can fall out on an even hour. And even numbers, peers, are harmful to a person, because that's when the Shadim, the demons, have permission to go ahead and do their things. As the Gemara in Pesachim says, that Peronius, punishment is prepared. That's why a person should never complete his drinking after drinking 2 cups or 4 cups on an even number, because that the Shadim have permission to rule over it. So therefore, again, on Tuesday, we'll have the under the dominion of the mazel of Mars, which is harmful, and that is the day when not only will the mazel of Mars be, but it could be even on the even hour, which is doubly harmful. That's why that such a day we should not put ourselves in a critical condition. As Rashi explains that, there's something called Shatzam Chanchal, which is an acronym for the 7 mazalis that there are in Shemayim. That's the order of the hours when the Ma'iris, when the celestial bodies and the mazalis were originally put out into the sky. And that is the first moment when that was done. That was on when Wednesday started at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night is when Wednesday started in the Sheishes and Mei Bereishis. So the first one was Saturn, That is why it says Shatzem Chanchal. Again, the Shin is a reference to Shabtoi, which is Saturn. The second one is Tzedek, which is Jupiter. After that comes Madim, which is Mars. Then comes Chama, which is the Sun. Then comes Noige, which is Venus. And then comes Koicha, which is Mercury. And then afterwards, the seventh one is Levana, which is the Moon. So it comes out that these seven Mazalis go according to the 7 hours, and then it repeats itself forever for the whole existence of the world. And that's how it runs. So therefore, the order of the mazalis, that the way it starts, for example, on the beginning of the weekday, is Katznash Chalam, that is Matzah Shabbos, when the beginning of the week starts. The first moment is Kaichev, is Mercury. Then the second night, it starts with Tzedek, Tzas, and Jupiter. And that's how the nights go, because again, if you calculate every 7 hours, that is the calculation, as is going to be, of how the order is. And therefore, the beginning of the day starts Chalam Chatznash. That is the first hour of Sunday, when Sunday morning starts at 6 a.m. It starts with Chama, with the sun. And Monday starts with Levana, with the moon. And Thursday and Tuesday starts with Madim, starts with Mars. And therefore, it comes out that Mars will repeat itself on the 8th hour, because again, every 7 hours, it repeats itself, because there's only 7 mazalis. And then it's going to fall out on an even hour. So therefore we see that that's why it's dangerous to do it on Tuesday, because not only will you have it that it's the day that it starts with Mars, that Mars is, so to speak, it's Mars's day that it starts, but it's even going to be on the even hour. But other days, Mars will never fall out on the even hour unless by nighttime. And on nighttime, that's not the custom of people to let blood. Therefore, we weren't concerned about other days. But again, Monday and Thursday is because the Bezdin on Shemayim and in here are ruling. And on Tuesday is because you're going to have Saturn, you're going to have Mars's day on an even hour, because again, it starts at the beginning of the day and it repeats itself 8 hours later. It's going to be on an even hour. And that's why we're concerned, because it's doubly dangerous. Then the Gemara asks, but Mali Shabbat and Namikaim Bezazi. Bizavi. We're going to have on Erev Shabbos that Mars will also be on an even hour. And therefore, why do we let you do it on Erev Shabbos? Because the first hour of the day on Friday is Noga Venus. Now, according to the order of Chalam Chatznash, which is how the days begin, so therefore we said that Noga, which is Friday on Chatznash, that's where it's starting. Now, since it's starting with Noga, with Venus, now according to the order of Shatzam Chanchal, it's going to come out that it's going to repeat, if you're starting from the beginning, from the fourth hour, it's going to come out that Madim, Mars, is going to come out during the sixth hour. And therefore, it's coming out, again, if Chanchal, if Shatzim Chanchal is the order of how we say it, and Chanchal, the Nun of Chanchal, is when the day is starting, so then when you get to the fourth hour, it's starting from the beginning again. So then when you get to Shatzam, it's going to be in the sixth hour, and the sixth hour, again, is going to be an even number. So you're going to have Mars on an even number, so that's also dangerous. And then the Gemara says Friday is different, although it should be the same Isser as Tuesday, but Kivin the Dosh Bei Rabim, since the public has already been trampling on this, and that is they're so accustomed to this because of the difficulties of money, of finances, because since Friday is close to the Suda of Shabbos, so the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Yud Ches that an honor, a way of covered Shabbos is buying large fish. So they double up on the meal, in the sense of that because they want to have the fish to support themselves, which is also says in the Gemara that supports for a person that let blood. So therefore, they go ahead and they let blood on Friday so that when they're eating the fish on the Shabbos meal, which is anyways they have to buy, so they want to go ahead and then help that and alleviate the bloodletting that they did on Friday. So though Friday is also shouldn't be done because of the danger, since the public already did it, so then as the Pasuk says, Shem Epsom Hashem watches over the fools. And that is, although again, it's not something that should be done, but since this is a klal said in Gemara all over, that since the Dosh Bei Rabim, since people have already done it, it already has created a path. So although like in the wilderness, that there's danger, but when there's a path, it makes it more available to people. Here also, once this is what people do, Hashem protects them. So related to, again, to this topic of Akaza, and when it should be done, Amar Shmuel, Dalad Duhu Dalad, regarding the fourth day of the week, which is also the fourth day of the month, or Dalad Duhu Arbesa, or the fourth day of the week, which is the 14th of the month, or Dalad Duhu Esen Rabo, or the fourth day of the week, which is the 24th of the month, or Dalad Deleka Arba Basre, or it's the fourth day of the week, which doesn't have 4 days after it, meaning up till the end of the month, there's not another 4 days. All these things are harmful for the person for letting blood on them, and therefore it's account to the danger, and you shouldn't let blood on those days. Similarly, Rish Chodesh Vishenilai, if it's Rish Chodesh and it's 2 days after that, then Chulsha causes the person to be weak. Shlishi la, if it's three days after that, then sakana, it causes danger. Similarly, mali yoyme tava chusha. If a person lets blood on the Erev Yom Tov, it causes a weakness. Mali yoyme da tzarta sakana, if a person lets blood on Erev Shavuos, that's danger to his life. And therefore, v'gazra abon, akulu mali yoyme tava, therefore the Rabban decreed regarding every Erev Yom Tov, mishum yoyme tava, that says, because of possibly doing it on the Erev Shavuos. And why is Erev Shavuos more dangerous than every other Yom Tov? Dinafik bezika ushmei tevuach, because there's a certain wind that comes out in Erev Shavuos, that wind's name is called Slaughterer. And the reason why is because the Eli Kiblu Yisrael Torah, had the Yidden not accepted the Torah on Shavuos, so therefore this wind came out to say, havetabuch lehu lebisrayu ledemayu, it would have slaughtered their flesh and their blood. And that's why it's by Yamahim Bezman Nazeh, this wind always comes out in Erev Shavuos, just like Kabbalah Satara is every Shavuos. And therefore we say that every Erev Yom Tov, one should not go ahead and let blood because of the danger of possibly doing it on Erev Shavuos. Again, on this topic of Hakaza, Amar Shmuel, achal chita v'hikaz dam, if a person first ate wheat and then he let blood, so then it says, lohikiz el lo'isa chita. The letting of the blood only was helpful for that wheat that he just ate, because eating weighs down the person's body. And the bloodletting after the eating will only help to alleviate that heaviness of the food, and it won't help for the general purpose of bloodletting. But when did we say this, that it's only going to be helpful for the wheat, and therefore it's almost purposeless, because you don't want to take away the wheat, you want to do it for the other body elements. That's only if you were letting the blood for healing purposes. But if you're doing it to lighten your body, then it will lighten. That is, if someone has the blood that's weighing down on him, then even after he ate, he can let blood and it will still alleviate the heaviness in his body and it will be purposeful. Hamak is dumb. If someone lets blood, so shtiyala alti, you should drink right away. Achila ad chatzimil, but eating up until the amount of time it takes to walk a half a mil. So Ibailu, they asked the following question. Shtiyala alti ma'ali, did they say that drinking right away, that that's helpful, of a basar hachi kasha, but drinking afterwards would be harmful? Or maybe, yes, best is drink right away, but if you drink afterwards, it's not harmful, but it's not beneficial either. So the Gemara says, take it, let it stand. It's not clear which way it goes on that. Similarly, Yibayla would ask the following question. Achila ad chatzi mil hudi kamal. We said that eating up until a half a mil, that's beneficial. But habasar hachi umikmeh hachi kasha, but that after the time it takes to walk a half a mil, or before the time it takes to walk a half a mil, then it's harmful. Or maybe that wouldn't be harmful, but not beneficial. It's only beneficial the amount of time it takes to walk a half a mil. And that Gemara's take would let that stand though, so it's not clear what it meant. Obviously, like a tchila, you should drink right away and eat the amount of time it takes to walk a half a mil, but it's not clear if you don't do that way, if it's going to be harmful or just not beneficial. Machiz Rav. Rav called out, Meya Kari Bezuzah. If 100 guards cost a zuzi, then buy it. If there's 100 heads of an animal, the amount of a zuz. In other words, what the Gemara is trying to say is that if it's very cheap and you could buy the heads of an animal for 100 of them for a zuz, then buy. But if not, don't buy, because it's not such a healthy thing to eat anyway. So you're saying, look, if it's so cheap, then buy it. However, but for 100 lips of an animal, the loy klum, doesn't make a difference, however cheap it is, don't buy it, because it has no point, it has no purpose, it's not useful in any form of the manner. As the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this, Amar Rav Yosef, Ki avinu bei Rav Huna, when we were by the house of Rav Huna, Yemin de Mefagri bei Rabban, what's commonly called Yemin de Pagri. It was a day that the Rabbanan were lazy from coming to the Beis Medrash, no one was coming, no one was in the Beis Medrash. So Ami, they said, Ha'idna Yemin de Svamehu. So they said that today is a day of lips. That's what they called it, Yemin de Svamehu. I said, I didn't understand what they were talking about. But what it really meant was, as we just said, that just like lips, it doesn't make a difference how cheap it is, don't buy because they have no purpose. It was saying that this day was lost and there is no te'elis for the day. That's what they call it, a day of lips. So now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah that said, V'koshin hataber, that when after the woman gives birth, we can go ahead and we could tie the umbilical cord, and that is because of the danger inherent that it might get wrapped around something, so we want to tie it that it shouldn't be just hanging out there because it might pull out the intestines of the child. And then there was a machlekes if it would be even applying to even cutting off the umbilical cord on Shabbos. So Tanakh Ben Gulit, the Braisa that elaborates on this, Koshin hatab, the Tanakh Kama says you could tie the umbilical cord. You could even cut it off. And then the Braisa continues and says, and then you could bury the placenta, and that is, as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is about to explain, that this was healing for the child, to warm up the child, although it's not touching the child, by just burying the placenta in something that would warm up the child. As the Gemara says, Kadesh Yech Mavlad, that would help to warm up the child, which is necessary after they give birth, after the child is just born. Amr Shimon Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel said, depending on the person, they would go ahead and bury it and conceal it in something else. Benois Malachim, the princesses, Toimnes Bisafalim Shal Shemen, they would go ahead and bury it inside bowls of oil. Benois Ashirim, the wealthy daughters, not royalty, but wealthy, Besvugim Shal Tzemer, they would go ahead and bury it in these tufts of wool, that is wool that was combed. Benois Aniyim, Bemuchin, the daughters of the poor people, they would go ahead and bury it in any some type of soft cloth, and that is, again, depending on their wealth, they would use different things to go ahead and bury it, again, as a way of warming up the child. So the Gemara says, L'halocha, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Baravu, Amar Rav, Halocha K'Rabbi Yosi, Halocha is like Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah, that not only could you tie the umbilical cord, you could even cut it off, again, due to the importance of the danger inherent if it's hanging out, of it might pulling out the intestines of the child. Amar Rav Nachman, again, another statement from Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Baravu, Amar Rav, Moidim Chacham L'Rabbi Yosi B'Taber Shal Shnei Tznekes. The Chacham who argue and say that you're not allowed to cut it, you can only tie it. However, they do agree by the umbilical cord of two children, that is when they're twins, and the umbilical cords are tied to each other, Shechaychen, that there you are allowed to cut. My time, why is there different? The Mantchei Adad, because they pull, one goes this way, one goes this way, and that's really a danger to life. So there they would agree that there not only could you tie it, but you could even cut it. Vam Rav Nachman, again, another statement for Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Baravu, Amar Rav. Whatever was said by the parasha of rebuke that was said by Yecheskel, giving Musa to Klal Yisrael regarding all the kindnesses in Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with them, and regarding their situation that they were just there in Mitzrayim, so downtrodden and so low, and it describes in the Pesukim that we're going to quote how they were not taken care of in Mitzrayim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and took care of them, so therefore they should remember the good times, and the terminology of Techacha, of Musar, is just a way of proving and notifying what it is that you did. Generally, when a person wants to tell someone, Teichacha Musa, what you did bad to me, is just a clarification, because generally the fights are when there's a misunderstanding. So Teichacha is when he just describes for them exactly what happened. That itself is the greatest form of Teichacha. So whatever was said there in the Pasuk that the Jewish people had, which were not taken care of them in Mitzrayim, those types of things, which obviously are important, that we are allowed to do for a woman that just gave birth for the child that was born. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Yecheskel, umol desayich, and regarding your birth, b'yom ha'yledus aysach, on the day that you were born. Again, this is in Mitzrayim. Lekaris sharich, your umbilical cord was not cut. Uvamayim loyruchatz lemishi, and you weren't washed in water to be softened. V'hamlich lohemlacht, and you weren't salted with salt. V'hachte luchatalt, and you weren't wrapped with wrapping. And the Gemara explains that these are the things that to show how Klal Yisrael were totally not taken care of. And then afterwards, Hashem came to take care of everything. What are these things? Umol desayich, and regarding your birth, b'yom ha'ledus, on the day that you were born, obviously, mikan shemi yaldin esavlad b'Shabbos, that you can go ahead and help a woman give birth on Shabbos. The next item of likara sharech, that your umbilical cord was not cut, is mikan shechaytchen hatav b'Shabbos, that you are allowed to cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos. Again, because we find that they are necessary. And that's what Yechezkel was saying, that you weren't taken care of until Hashem came to take care of you. And with water you weren't washed to be softened, that is to be anointed and smeared, and that your skin should be smooth. That teaches us that that you're allowed to bathe a child that was born on Shabbos. And you weren't salted. From here you learn that you could salt a child in Shabbos, that they use different ingredients to harden his skin because of the elements that are there. We need him to get harder skin. And finally, that you weren't wrapped with a wrapping when you were born. From here we learn that you could swaddle and wrap a child in Shabbos. And that is, Rashi explains, that's not what's called asuva yinuka, which is to straighten the bones of a child that's born, because as the Gemara in Parakalakim and Chav Gimel tells us, because there Rav Nachman says that's asur. Rather, he was just talking about wrapping the child, not actually taking the bones and putting them in place, as they would take different belts and different garments to wrap around the child, that would straighten out the different joints of the child, which are soft, and they would get displaced during the childbirth. And therefore, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos, these are the items I got, these are things that Klal Yisrael, you didn't have taken care of you until Hashem came along, and these are the things I was saying regarding a birth that are mutter to do on Shabbos. Hanulach Mefan, we shall return to you, Perek Mefan, the 18th Perek of Masechta Shabbos.